Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, March 14th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics. We're on page 84. We're going to begin with the sixth line from the top of the page, our whole attitude and outlook. We're going to read two sentences ending with, fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We are going to read and comment on those two sentences this morning. Today's readers are Julie E.B. reading the text, Eileen M. reading page 164, and Penny L.C. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, March 13th, 2025, is 22,250, and or that's 22250, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,252 or 22252. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you for your service. My name is Terry G. I'm a food addict from Pensacola, and I'd like to welcome everybody here today. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. And eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today. With that, I pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Terry G. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R. in Memphis. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. to, for our group purpose, there is that one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing. Remember, you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what we read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 84, beginning with the 6th line from the top of the page, our whole attitude and outlook, through 2 sentences ending with, fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We are reading and commenting on these 2 sentences this morning. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to please get us started. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. These promises are so powerful of what happens when I clear the deck. For those of you who do not know me, I gratefully recovered with the help of this meeting and a sponsor from this meeting for 8 years. And the reason I mention that time is because in all that time, I have had a whole attitude and outlook change with life. I've had fear of people and economic insecurity leave me. What has not changed and what has not left me is life, that life can be difficult, that people can not follow my script, that I can try to run the show, that they can like me or not like me or somewhere in between. What has not changed is economic insecurity. Certain circumstances have brought that to my life. does the fear come, you know, when the car needs $1,000 on, I don't know, let's say Tuesday? Sure. But now I have a place to go back to because I went through the steps with my sponsor, reading line for line in the big book, working one with another. You know, some of my sponsees call the outlook, call an outreach line, and someone says, well, you're doing it wrong. And say, what do you mean? Maybe I'm doing it wrong. Not doing fast enough or this enough or that enough. And it's like, hey, I'm sponsoring you the way I got sponsored. The big book says over and over again that this is not a bystander speaker process. This is a process of sponsorship one to another. And so what I have to offer my sponsees is what was offered to me, which is to go through the big book word for word the way I went through it. And as I did that, I got a sense that I could return to a God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. What I did not get is a life full of guarantees. What I did not get is a life where nothing would go wrong. But my attitude and outlook did change. And the amount of time that I spent in fear goes away as I work these steps every day. You know, I had a real blessing of a chance to learn how to do my amends that precede this promise because I have this gracious God. I have been looking at this relationship. I regret this, no explanations or excuses, moving forward. And I want you to know this wonderful thing about you. Moving forward, I will seek to do this. That is what changes and flips my attitudes and my fears. The fear prayer, the harm prayer, and the resentment prayer turn my attitude every day. So thank you for being on this journey with me. And yeah, it is a miracle. But life still happens. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Julie E.B. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Eileen M.
I've got you, Eileen.
Yvonne A.
Jessica M.
I heard Yvonne A, I think. A is an apple?
Correct.
And where are you calling
Jessica
from?
Jessica M. I'm from BC, Canada.
Canada, gotcha. And I've got you, Jessica. And who? I thought I heard another voice in there.
Alexis F.
I've got you, Alexis, and that's F as in Frank?
F as in Francis.
And where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
Anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup?
Vanessa G.
Was that Vanessa G?
It was. I had a frog in my throat.
That's okay. From New Mexico, right?
Uh-huh. Thanks.
Okay. Got you. Okay. I've got Eileen M., Yvonne A., Jessica M., Alexis F., Vanessa G. We're going to start with Eileen M., followed by Yvonne A. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., very gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And I'm really struck by this, these two sentences. There's so much there. So I have an example of how my outlook and attitude changed as a result of the process. You know, I remember after I went through the steps with my sponsor, you know, with entire abstinence. I had a spiritual awakening. And one of the things that happened was I went to this very large meeting in my area. You know, it's the largest one. And it was Saturday morning. And, you know, all the members were sitting in a circle. So I remember walking in there and I was looking around the circle. And I think for the first time, I started experiencing concern for other people. And it's like I was seeing them for the first time. And I had never had that before, you know, that exact same feeling. And, you know, because prior to doing the steps, you know, I was completely self-absorbed. It was like I was walking around, you know, the world, and I just did not see other people. I mean, I didn't even notice things like birds and flowers. I mean, I was just like, you know, so absorbed. And, you know, in that way, I was really isolated. You know, it was kind of like I was on the outside looking in. You know, it was really cool. I remember also thinking, after I've completed step five, I remember thinking, wow, you know, this life is not all about me. You know, I'm not here on the earth to see what I can get out of life. I never thought before about, you know, I never like woke up in the morning and thought, wow, how can I be of service to other people? You know, you know, and I thought, wow, I've been so blind, you know, and I can really see when, you know, it's kind of like when Bill Wilson said in his story, a new world came into view, because that's exactly what happens. And I remember feeling joy for like the first time in my life. I mean, feeling joy, you know, not just thinking about joy. I mean, it was really kind of neat. And I'm just so grateful for this process. You know, it really, this is what this can do. I mean, in case you're in doubt about what can happen, it's really pretty amazing. And I'm really grateful, and thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Next, we've got Yvonne A. from Canada, BC, Canada. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning. Good morning, Stephanie, and everyone on the call. My name is Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. And yeah, this part of the promises is just something that sticks out so much for me. I had become so isolated. I was so filled with fear and anxiety. I would literally wake up in the morning and immediately just be filled with dread about, you know, who I was going to see that day, what I had to do that day, who I was going to run into. And, you know, I'd make plans. I'd try to have, you know, relationships with friends, and the anxiety building up to having to see them meant that about half of the time I just canceled. I just could not do it. And so for me, this has been an absolute miracle. I don't wake up in the morning now filled with dread about what the day ahead holds. I wake up and instead my first thoughts are of gratitude. I always thank God for the day that I've been given when consciousness comes to me in the morning. And then I go into my, you know, prayers and meditations and a gratitude list. And it just sets the table for such a beautiful day ahead where I don't have to fear what's coming. Do I have fear? Absolutely. There are things that happen. The start of this year was a tough one for me. My sister had a mental health crisis. And I remember waking up one of the nights pretty early on after we'd had to put her in the hospital. And you know, thoughts were going through my head, but they were not of how can I fix this? What is going to happen? Oh my gosh, here's all of the, you know, disasters that could come of this. And I realized that even though I was in that situation and I was awake in the middle of the night, I still felt contentment. I wasn't afraid. And that for me was just such an amazing gift. So yeah, I love this promise. It has definitely manifested itself in my life. I just can't even imagine going back to where I was. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Next, we're going to have Jessica M. followed by Alexis F. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi, this is Jessica from Michigan. Can I be heard?
We can hear you.
All right. Great. Hi. Jessica from Michigan, compulsive overeater. Oh, what a great two lines. I think what this really made me think of was the lines from the third step reading about less and less am I interested in myself, more and more am I interested in God and what God is doing in my life and how I can be of service to God, you know, and the side effect of that is that less and less, you know, am I fearful, you know, of people or economic insecurity, more and more does my attitude, my outlook upon life change as time goes on, as I spend more time in recovery, you know, going through just a tough season of life right now, you know, and some challenges, but I've been amazed by how recovery has just moved into my thinking. I won't say it's perfect by any stretch or that I certainly don't have fear or that I don't have these things, but, you know, when these other, you know, fear or resentment, what have you, catastrophizing comes up, you know, on its heels, much sooner than before I was recovered, on its heels comes, you know, this idea of, you know, where is God? You know, turn to God. And that often in just this, you know, storm of life or things that are happening and I don't know what's going to happen or I don't know what to do, you know, that anchor of just turn to God, just turn to prayer, you know, do God's work, stay close to God. You know, that's what I can anchor on and that the answers will come, the actions will come that I need to do. You know, that's that change in attitude. That's the change in outlook that I'm seeing and that I'm experiencing as a result of recovery in the steps. You know, that connection with God just gives me that peace, gives me something to anchor on when just life feels uncertain and like it's in the middle of a storm. And so just really loving this passage and felt, you know, in spite of everything that's going on in my life, just a ton of gratitude, a gratitude for the challenges, you know, because the challenges that before would have sent me into the food or into vengeance or anger or getting back at people, I'm seeing how it's sending me to God and to prayer and to a different way of being in the world and with people. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I didn't know what was going to happen when I was not recovered. I just acted differently. I acted like I knew. I still don't know, but I'm at peace with that more and more. And so I'm just tremendously grateful for that, for all of you and for the program. Thanks so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jessica M. from Michigan. Next, we have Alexis F., followed by Vanessa G. Good morning, Alexis.
Thank you for your service. This is Alexis F. in New Jersey, East Coast time. I have a story to tell that can help people. I've been in the pits. I've had a huge hole in me that had to be filled. It's getting filled little by little. I have a sense of belonging in a way, because I've struggled many, many years and very drastically with this illness. Food has been my go-to since I was born. I know the difference because my daughter was a voracious eater and my son would spit everything out. I was born with it. I was a voracious eater. I need help more than most people. I need people more than most people. And most of all, I need God. Most of me, most of all. Hi. Excuse me. And I'm talking. Most of all, I need God. I turn everything over to Him. I pray when I have a decision to make that it be His decision. I live with my daughter, and I'm the luckiest girl in the world. I can be drastic at times. It's a raw reality of my life. I might be brutally honest. If it's a character defect, God has to remove it from me. I can't change it right now. I thank you all for being here, for sharing your stories, for sharing your attitudes. My attitude and outlook has changed so much over the past few days. I think you remember the last time I spoke and I said, you know, I was worried about going to a hospital. God has relieved me of that, and he's relieved me of multi-addictions, and now I'm working on my emotions. And I'm grateful to him, and I can never pay him back for what he did for me. My greatest joy is giving away this program, especially to a newcomer, especially to people who I can share my strength, hope, and experience, and just indebted to you all for all you've done for me.
From New Jersey. Next up, we have Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Good morning, Vanessa.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. You know, I sometimes think that, well, let me start over again for a moment. I was going to put in my opinion here as opposed to my experience. So let me think about my experience with this whole attitude and outlook change. It is an entire whole attitude and outlook change. It's a personality transplant almost. And where, you know, did it come from for me? It came through, you know, the step process. It's, you know, I got to the ninth step. And I understood that I wasn't alone and that if I asked, I would receive the ability to do things that I wasn't able to do before. And asking was truly the change. Prior to this, I kept trying to do life on my own power. And getting through the steps required me to ask a higher power for help. Because if I could have, I would have prior to this. And so, you know, that sentence before these two sentences, self-seeking will slip away. It really does. Because I am no longer looking to myself for the answers. I'm no longer seeking the key to life on my own. Now I am God-seeking. I have changed. I am looking to God for my plan every day. I ask God first thing in the morning to show me what to do. No longer am I self-seeking. And that is my attitude and outlook change. I'm no longer looking to myself. And I have to remind myself of that every morning. And that doesn't mean that I don't slip back into sometimes, you know, ruminating in my head about what I'm going to do. But I always go back to my prayer. I have actually included this in both my morning prayer and my evening prayer. You know, I just try to remember I am no longer alone, but rather I am in your care, God, safe and protected. I am no longer self-seeking, uselessly looking for answers from myself, for myself, and by myself. I am seeking you now, finding the direction and strength to meet my problems as you would have me. My higher power doesn't let me down as long as
That's
I remember nice. To ask. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Before we get some more names, I want to let you know where we're at in the book if you're just joining us. We're on page 84, beginning with the sixth line from the top of the page, our whole attitude and outlook. We read two sentences ending with fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. So we're reread and commenting on those two sentences this morning. And if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Pam,
Jerry Z, California.
Oh, I didn't hear anybody. Sorry.
Malga.
Okay. I think, did I hear Candy?
Pam B.
Pam. All right. Pam B. And Pam, where are you calling from?
Palos Verdes, California.
California. Okay. Who was after Pam?
Sherry Rowena. B. from California.
I've got you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Diane from Chicago.
Diane, what's your last initial?
MC.
Diane MC. Okay.
Malka S.
Was that Malka?
Yeah.
S is in Sam or F is in Frank?
Yeah, Sam.
Okay, and where are you calling from, Malka?
Central Mexico.
Mexico, okay, gotcha. Okay.
Rowena.
Rowena, and what's your last initial?
V.
V, and where are you calling from?
The United Kingdom.
United Kingdom, okay. Gotcha, let's see. I think maybe we might be able to get one more in. It just depends. Does anyone else want to get added to our next lineup? Okay, well, we'll see how it goes. I have Pam B, Sherry Z, Diane MC, Malka S, and Rowena V. We're going to start with Pam B, followed by Sherry Z. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning. I'm Pam B from California. Thank you very much for moderating. And I'm just feeling very – I'm a compulsive overeater and a real compulsive overeater. Recently went through a wicked, painful relapse, and I'm abstinent today. Working with a sponsor and just super duper grateful. It's like I remember one time I lost, my dog got lost. And when she came back, I got her, I mean, I was devastated. And it just the joy I feel now is just getting my dog back was similar. And I'm just so very, very grateful. I also lost a diamond earring in a pool, and that showed up too. But, and I'm just super grateful. But I wanted to say that, yeah, so cautionary tale. I had food neutrality, and it got really, I chose to eat, and it was bad. It was as bad as ever and worse. But anyway, I am on my road. The Lord God is speaking to me. I have a neighbor of many, many years, over 20 years, who's had a rough go. And I found myself yesterday, just a couple of things. I've known her for 20 years. She's had a son. She has a son who's severely disabled. And she lost her husband a couple of years ago. And now her mom is in, in terrible shape. In any case, it was about our trash cans. I couldn't find mine. I thought maybe they were over at her house. Long story short, I found myself offering to help her out with her trash cans. And I know that's a small deal, but for me, that's huge. The thought that I would help somebody else and in such a small way, but it really meant a lot to her. And I'm just the idea, too, of self-seeking. I didn't know till yesterday. Somebody explained it in a way that my brain could understand, and I was like, oh, I get it, after a couple years in a vision for you. So I love you all. I hope you have a great day. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Pam B. in California. Next, we've got Sherry Z, followed by Diane MC. Good morning, Sherry.
Sherry, for all your service, and I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California, and I'm just pulling over as I'm heading to synagogue because it's our holiday. I loved the comment that I share my experience, not my opinion. And my experience is that I worked the ninth step for the first time truly in
vision, and it was really hard. And after, I didn't walk around thinking, oh my God, if I run into her, or if I run into him, or I walked around clear. And I've noticed since then, because I'm not in fear of who I'm going to run into, but I've noticed since then when I do have something with someone or someone's upset with me because I have a very public-facing job and people get upset with my decisions, and I've learned not me, they get upset with my choices and my decisions when it's not what they want, that my recovery time is much quicker. I used to hold on to feeling hurt and affronted or afraid of them for much longer. It's a much quicker recovery time. And I feel it getting shorter and shorter. And the other thing I want to say is, like, the program's really made me do things I don't want to do. It's very inconvenient for me this morning to share, but I have a commitment that I share once a week. And the program makes me not wait for me to feel, oh my God, I want to share. I'm in the mood. I feel so good. It's like this morning is like chaos and I have to pull over right now and I'm going to make me late. But I heard God say to me, just keep your commitments, do your steps, do your work, and everything else will unfold the way it's supposed to be. So I'm really grateful to be here. I've really enjoyed the shares this morning, and thank you all for showing up every day.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sherry Z in California. Next, we'll have Diane MC, followed by Malka S. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Again, this is Diane MC in Chicago, and I'd like to share on it the fear of economic insecurity that has been relieved of me. And it did not come through doing a step 10 on fear. It came through a whopper of a crisis. And a loved one of mine was in horrendous relapse, and the result was extortion to the extreme. We lost everything except the house. So I was in program. I had you all there helping me through this crisis, and a realization that I needed my higher power in a deeper way than ever. There was people in recovery that had gone down this path. I didn't have to travel it alone. There were a lot of practicalities that had to be done. People were there to hold my hand to see it through. And through it all, I just had such an assurance that God was right there with me, and that I could trust that things would be okay. I never needed God so much as then, and I just had that confidence in the midst of such a horrendous experience. So I've been through the worst regarding economic insecurity. You know, so the fears can be moved because of that. But I just look back on all the ways you provided tangible ways to help people that were there. It was, I look back and it just draws me into thankfulness, gratefulness. I don't know what the future holds, but that I was enslaved to thinking my security lied in money in the future. And, you know, we're getting up in age today. For today, things are just fine. And that's my focus on for today, because I've got my memory of the past. God was there. He'll be there in the future, whatever it may be. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, perfect timing. Diane MC from Illinois. Thank you so much for sharing. Next, we've got Malka S., followed by Rowena V. Malka, good morning. You're up.
Good morning, everyone. Malka S., compulsive overeater in Mexico. I am so grateful for all these shares today. I think I'm in this place where I've had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, but I don't think I've had this spiritual awakening that people talk about. And it's always really helpful for me to hear from everyone what their experience is, because it helps to make it more real for me. I'm gratefully abstinent, gratefully on this path of recovery every day. And I think that I still very much go back into old thinking patterns, negative thinking patterns. But I've been shown that when I don't do these steps, and I don't put my reliance on my higher power, just this illness really gets the best of me. So yeah, I just wanted to say I'm so grateful for everybody's share. Right now I'm focusing on showing up for the steps and just leaving the results to my higher power. I used to have a lot of fear that I wasn't worthy of the spiritual awakening. And now I think I'm able to get this insight. I'm able to see now that the worthlessness that I felt is actually selfish and self-pitying. It's a false belief, maybe that I'm different or superior. And I wouldn't have that insight if it weren't for these steps. So I'm just going to keep showing up. I'm just going to keep doing the steps and in the best way I can, not striving for perfection, because my step process is definitely not perfect. But I want the spiritual awakening. I want
I'm sorry, I think we lost you, Malka. Malka, you're muted.
I also know that sometimes we don't see that. We don't see why it's happening. We only see a very small frame of the bigger picture. And I want to be okay with that. I want to just relax, and I want to just say, God, it's okay. I don't need to understand. I don't need clarity.
Malka, that's
I don't
kind.
Need it. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and I hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you so much, Malka S. from Mexico. Next, we've got Rowena V. Good morning, Rowena.
Hi, it's Rowena V. From the United Kingdom. Thank you for letting me share. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. My attitude and outlook is beginning to change. I can't say it has completely changed, but I'm just feeling, like in the past, if I thought I was right about something that I had a resentment about, my justified anger would be enough that I wouldn't think it was a resentment. I wouldn't think I needed to do a step 10 on it. But I guess what's changed is that now, if I've got any doubts, I'll ask my sponsor. You know, and she will usually gently signpost me, I guess, maybe in the right direction. And also the fear of people. And that's something that I work on in all my step 10s, is most of them are fear of people. What will people think of me? And that is a work in progress. I know, one of my defects is making other people responsible for my happiness. That comes up a lot at work. And, I'm getting better at recognizing those things. And which makes me you know, easier to work with. If I'm not having, you know, meltdowns every time I feel wounded by something somebody did or didn't do at work. I'm just really grateful to be able to have that opportunity to grow as a person, which just would not be possible. And I guess, you know, also the prayer that's coming up, the step 11 prayer, about, you know, we pause, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thou will be done." You know, those are things that were completely foreign to me. I would never pause and ask, you know, higher power, what do you have me do in this situation? And, you know, it means that I can actually be more tolerant, because that wasn't necessarily in my nature before, being tolerant, patient and kind. And those are probably things I'm not able to show myself, but I'm learning hopefully to show those types of things to myself through learning to show them to other people because of this program. So I feel very optimistic about this. And like I said, very much a work in progress. And, you know, I'm looking forward to having more changes come into my life. And also, you know, I've become aware of just having a conscience, which I've probably always had a conscience, but I'm very good at ignoring it, you know. And so I just have little intuitions that I never had before. Thank you for listening, and I'll leave it there.
Thank you so much, Rowena V from United Kingdom. We have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like to take it? Anyone like to take a 2-minute share? If so,
I just Deb F in Central Texas. I'll take it.
Oh, Deb.
Good morning. Yes, I just want to say, just like many others, I appreciate all the shares and all your experience, strength, and hope this morning. I'm Deb F. in Texas, recovered but not cured, and still seeing so many things that I can improve on. I remember doing the nightly review, and it said, so what do you think you need to do better? And I just like balked at that when I first looked at it. I'm like, gosh, do they see everything I'm doing, for crying out loud, you know? And, but, you know, I've learned to take that to heart, you know, and I just every day I have something to add, and it just opens my eyes to people, places, and things in a way that I haven't seen before. And, to where, you know, I'm concerned about others, even those who hurt me. And it's the result of this program, Spiritual Awakening. I don't think it's a one-time thing. I think it's a continual thing. And it's because now where I go, instead of just trying to do on my own reserves, which I found are few, you know, I go to God, who I've been taught to go to in this program, instead of my own unshaky self. And it makes a huge difference. It's opened up a vista for me. And I have this little plaque in my bathroom, you know, I'm not perfect, but, you know, I have so much to be thankful for. And that's where I'm leaving this. I'm grateful for the synergy that happens here with you all.
That's kind, Deb.
So, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Eileen M., would you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. It's Eileen M., recovered compulsive reader, New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.